time now to talk books with Susan Brown, the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, everybody's favorite librarian for everybody's favorite segment. How are you?
Aww.
It's true, though.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I am just fantabulous.
That's good.
How are you?
I'm great. I am ready for the weekend, and I know you are, too, because Festifall is happening on Sunday.
That's right, my friend. Festifall is happening on Sunday.
And because you are not just a Chapel Hill Public Librarian, but also the town's community events coordinator, I know you as head of the Chapel Hill Public Library, and then everyone just got new titles over the last couple of months and new responsibilities and everything else.
Right. What am I? I am the... Who am I? Why am I here?
24601.
I am the executive director for Community Arts and Culture.
Community Arts and Culture,
which
is
a separate column of responsibilities from the library.
Yeah,
so arts
time.
And culture is not a part of the library. It's this separate thing. It's akin to my colleague Chief Blue, who is the police chief, and he's the executive director for community safety.
Yes.
So there are four of these executive director positions, and don't tell anybody, I got the best one.
You totally got the best one.
They're all great. They're all fabulous.
But it means that you now have this huge role to play for Festifall, so this weekend's going to be a really big deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I inherited a great team, and Festifall is really, so festivals and events, while they're under the community arts and culture sort of umbrella, they're really a town-wide. They are all hands on deck. Every town department plays a role in Festifall, from police, fire, emergency planning, communications and public affairs, our dear friends at Parks and Recreation, Public Works. Everybody plays a role in putting on Festifall, in addition to our great community partners and, of course, our great sponsors. Festifall is presented by Erie Insurance. They came on board as presenting sponsors. They really wanted to connect with the community, support the community, support the arts. Of course, we have WCHL sponsoring the main stage. We have Chapel Hill Magazine bringing back the mega mural, which was a new thing last year.
Nice.
So that's all to say that it is many departments, many partners, many sponsors that come together for an awesome 6 hours on West Franklin Street, 12 to 6, for art, food, music and fun.
And there's always that kind of anticipation right before, like, oh, is it going to rain? Is it going to storm? There was that one year a couple of years ago when it poured and
we don't speak of that year.
Yeah, we don't speak of that year. This year it's going to be fabulous. Like,
it's gonna be
weather
great.
Looks nice. It's not going to be too hot.
Low
80s, exactly,
partly cloudy. It's going to be fabulous.
I had a chance to check out the lineup for the main stage, which we're all going to be taking turns hosting on Sunday, and like really, really awesome artists.
Somebody
every
said that you
year.
Were going to be in Disney World.
I'm going to be in Disney World.
So
yeah, it's
okay.
True. Yeah, I will
so
be.
So by we, you mean other people?
Other people will be filling in, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I will be at the Magic Kingdom. Wishing I was at the Magic Kingdom, but also wishing that there were two of me so that the second me could be at Chapel Hill for Festifall.
Yes. But we will all be thinking of you while we are festifalling.
Cursing my name, but no, you'll be at Festifall. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I do want to point out a couple things about Festifall this year. Mm-hmm. So, shameless plug for the library. The circulator will
circulator,
be there.
Of course, yeah.
We're going to be, I think, right smack dab in the middle of the thing,
nice.
Which is great because we also, the circulator has solar panels on top, which power the power, and they also power the Wi-Fi. So we'll bring the circulator, we'll bring library staff, we'll bring kids activities. We'll be right next to the Kid Zone,
nice.
Which is full of fun stuff for kids. We have some great partners this year that have come on. Some of them have been with us in the past, but folks like the Ackland, because this is an arts festival and they're celebrating their 60th birthday. They will be there. As I mentioned, the Chapel Hill Magazine mega mural, which the coloring book thing came back a few years ago, and I think we did it last year kind of as a lark, and people, like, Loved it.
Like anything interactive like that where people can just get involved and just take a canvas and just make it beautiful.
Yeah, it was really fun. We're bringing back the big chair, the giant Adirondack chair.
Right.
And then this year, and we have the food trucks and the stages, and of course 100 artists who were all chosen based on a selection process. But I want to mention, we are bringing Macbeth to festival this year, or I should say the Scottish play.
Yes.
Oops.
anything bad that happens, it's because of this moment right here.
The managing director of Playmakers, Justin Hazlett, I believe he told me that the curse is only invoked if you say Macbeth in the theater.
Oh, okay. Oh, well then.
That's what he told me to make me feel better.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
So we can say it like 10 times.
Yeah.
And we won't like
I think
fall
you have to
chairs.
Say it 10 times in order to reverse
to break
the curse that you just, It's like Beetlejuice, but backwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Candyman. sorry. So I wanted to mention this. So Playmakers every year does something called Mobile Shakespeare.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah. They're bringing that.
Oh,
that's
so
awesome.
It's really cool. So Playmakers does Mobile Shakespeare. They take a Shakespeare play, they strip it down to 90 minutes, minimal, you know, like I don't think any real costumes or staging or props. And the idea is to make it more relatable and relevant and sort of different to a new audience. And so they've been doing this for years. And it's one of those things where when I met with them a few months ago, they were like, yeah, we always do this in Durham. I'm like, why don't you do it in Chapel Hill? Mm-hmm. They were like, why don't we do it in Chapel Hill? So we've been working with them. We're bringing it to the Chapel Hill Public Library this Friday night.
Awesome.
And then we're going to bring it to Festifall, and it's going to be in the launch space Sunday at 2 o'clock. So you have two chances out in the community this weekend to see a 90-minute, totally modern, totally different version of Macbeth from Playmakers. Friday night at the library at... I want to say 7 o'clock. When my voice goes up like that, you know I don't have all my details.
Looking it up on the internet.
I'm pretty sure it's Friday at 7. And then at Festival at 2 o'clock in the launch space.
So like the launch Chapel Hill space?
Yeah, that newer space they have.
Oh,
that's
the one
down
on West
from where
Franklin.
That's down from where Vespa was, next to the new Blue Dogwood Market. So you could go by there.
Okay.
Have a nibble, pre or post show. It's going to be awesome.
That's great.
We're really excited about that.
Macbeth is the Scottish play. We've already said it
we've
twice.
Said
we'll,
it,
say,
right?
We'll say it seven more times and we'll be good. Macbeth is a great play to do kind of minimalistically, right? Because you can pare that down really easily. I can only imagine the hard part is cutting it down to an hour and a half. I don't know how they do that.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So Festival is going to be awesome.
Awesome.
Come, unless you are in the Magic Kingdom, come to Festival. You have no excuse.
Chapel Hill Festival. Festifall.com is the website if you're listening out there and you want more info, including like the full lineup and all the different arts and vendors and everything that are going to be there. Food trucks, right,
food
are going to be there. Yeah.
Three stages, two of them with music acts, and then one is the sort of interactive stage. That one's sponsored by the People's Improv Theater, The Pit.
Awesome.
That's everything from Cane Creek Cloggers to Chinese folk dancers to...
That's always I've emceed that stage too in the past, and that is just a super fun stage be part of for the entire day.
And I have to say, kudos to all of the crew that are working on this. It's just amazing how much, I mean, I knew, but then you actually start working on it, and it's like, wow, so much detailed work, you know, especially down in that week leading up to it. So thanks, Trey. Thanks, Tiffany. Thanks to Kevin's crew and everybody else. Y'all are awesome.
Awesome. So it's got Susan Brown here in the studio. What are we going to recommend for books? Are we talking
festival? I think festival is our prompt.
So fall festivals, arts, and everything else that is in between. All right, you go first because I got very little.
I'll go first. So I was thinking festivals. That was the first thing that came into my brain. And then I thought carnivals.
Yes.
Because that's like a festival's first cousin. Mm. And then the first image that came into my head was the Hitchcock movie Strangers on a Train, with that iconic scene where the guy murders the other guy. He strangles him with that Ferris wheel
at
in
the
background,
circus,
It's this very iconic image. And so I wanted to recommend, of course, the book that the movie is based on, which is Patricia Highsmith's Strangers on a Train. So Patricia Highsmith, if you read modern authors like Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl and Sharp Objects, Patricia Highsmith is like her... she's a descendant of that type of writing. She's sort of that psychological, suspense, really character-driven. She's fabulous. She wrote her books, you know, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they still hold up. So Strangers on a Train, and the basic plot, many people know, literally two strangers meet on a train, and they decide to pull off the perfect murder. And one of them wants to murder his spouse, and the other one wants to murder his father. So they say, I'll kill your father if you kill my wife. Wacky hijinks ensue with an iconic scene at a festival slash carnival. So that's my first book, Strangers on a Train, Patricia Highsmith.
You said festival and then carnival, and that made me think of New Orleans. And I was kind of trying to think of a New Orleans thing for festivals, and I wasn't. But I just came up with one that I have read recently. It is a really, really fun graphic novel. It's a graphic novel series called Black Sad. I just had to look it up. Juan Diaz Canales is the writer, and Juanjo Guarnido, I think, artist.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, Aaron. Could you say that again?
No, I can't. So they're Spanish authors. I speak French badly and don't speak Spanish at all. So I just butchered both of those names. But it's a comic. It's kind of like a noir, 1940s detective noir graphic novel, except all of the characters are animals. So anthropomorphic animals. And John Blacksad is the name of the main character. And he is a black cat who is also a noir detective. His partner, pseudo partner, is a guy named Weekly, who I think is a weasel, if I remember right, or a ferret. No, he's a ferret. He's a ferret because he smells bad. And they go on these. I mean, it's just a great noir graphic novel series, but there's just such a rich world that's developed because all of the characters are animals. They've got all of their kind of animalistic qualities in addition to being noir characters. It's about the world of the 40s. It's about race. And one of the graphic novels is one called A Silent Hell, which is set in New Orleans in the middle of a carnival Mardi Gras season. And it's really, really good. So check that out, as well as like the entire series, because it's phenomenal.
I love that.
Black Sad. Yeah.
Okay. Books about festival. Oh, right. Okay, the next book. I was like, hang on, wait a minute. The other one that I wanted to mention is a book that I'm currently reading, and shameless plug coming up. This author will be here in November, Ooh. And I'm going to bring him on the show.
Nice.
And I've talked about him before, but it's an author named Grady Hendrix. I was thinking about all of the bands that will be playing on the WCHL main stage mm-hmm. and other stages, thinking about you talking about the School of Rock band, and I want to recommend Grady Hendrix's new book. So he writes horror, mm-hmm. But very modern, very astute, really funny, very also pretty dark stuff. His current book is called We Sold Our Souls.
Ooh.
And it is a horror novel, so it's perfect for the month of October, but it is set in the backdrop of, like, heavy metal bands.
Nice.
And the basic premise of it is that this band sort of had its heyday, and then they fell apart and they broke up. And all of the members, except for one, their lives have since fallen apart, except for one who's gone on to be like the mega star
yes.
of the heavy metal, death metal world.
Nice.
And the other members band together and go on this quest to figure out why he achieved this level of greatness. And I will remind you of the title, We Sold Our Souls.
Yes.
So it's a deep dive into heavy metal band culture, but you don't have to know anything about it or like it. If you like horror, if you like really good writing, very good storytelling, I highly recommend any of his books, but especially We Sold Our Souls.
I'm going to go in exactly the opposite direction.
Okay.
I was trying to think of, it was a kid's book that was set during the fall. The main character had just gone back to school for the fall, and it was a book that carried her and the family all the way through the fall season and into the very beginning of winter, and it ended with a Christmas pageant. That was all I could remember. Looked it up, took me like 20 minutes. Ramona and Her Father by Beverly Cleary.
Oh.
Still, I think my favorite Ramona book. It's the one where the father loses his job and the mother has to go back to work and the family's struggling to make ends meet. And there's that level of tension. And she's in second grade, I think. And there's this build up to the Christmas pageant at the end. And then everyone's happy and everyone gets reconciled to each other and all of the crises are resolved. But it's the Ramona books. I don't have to say anything about the Ramona books. They're phenomenal. But it's set during the fall, and it goes up to a Christmas pageant. So that one.
So I love that you segue to a kid's book. Mm-hmm. And if we have a couple more minutes, I was going to do maybe even three. I'll definitely do two.
It's kids all books. You. It's
okay.
All you.
So thinking about the Chapel Hill Magazine's mega mural and mm-hmm. the experience of coloring, I initially thought of course, Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Nice. Yes.
So that was the first thing that came to mind. And then, which is a book that many, many people know. It holds up. It's fabulous. It's also, I will tell you, a really easy Halloween costume for parents out there. If you have a bald baby, you can put, all you've got to do is get, I think he wears like a blue one-piece hooded jammy thing.
It's like a purple
and
crayon.
And give him a purple crayon.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's a really easy Halloween costume.
Step one, procure a bald baby. Step two, profit. That's great.
That's right. I had bald babies, but I did not use that costume. But I have seen many last-minute Harold and the Purple Crayon
costumes. That's pretty
good.
That's pretty good.
So that's a very well-known book. Then I wanted to recommend a newer picture book, probably... If you are the parent of a kid who's been, I don't know, in second grade in the last 5 years, they know this book, but it's a fabulous book called The Day the Crayons Quit. Ooh. So it is such a good book. It's very, very funny. Basically, the kid in the book opens his crayons to color one day, and he finds that they have revolted. They're going on strike. And each crayon, like each page, is the letter from each crayon color with their list of grievances, throwing shade at the other crayons. And in the end, of course, they all come back together. It is a great book. It's a great book to read out loud. I've read it to many a classroom.
Oh, that's good.
If you're looking for a book for a kid who... likes art, doesn't like art, likes sarcasm and snark and humor. It's a fabulous
book. I gotta find this book.
It's really good.
No one can throw shade like a crayon either.
And then he's since written a couple more. There was one called The Day the Crayons Came Home, mm-hmm. And maybe another one in the Crayon Trilogy. One more.
All right.
I want to recommend a book called The Dot. So The Dot is a picture book, but I think the author was Peter Reynolds, maybe. And The Dot was just kind of a quiet book that came out. But now, over the years, it was, I think just in the past month, it was International Dot Day. So this book has inspired its own sort of holiday. But it's a story, I don't want to give away too much, and it's kind of hard to describe, but it's really about people who don't think that they are creative. And how they actually are, and how freeing yourself to think of yourself as a creative person can actually make you more creative.
Awesome.
It's a wonderful book. Any of those are great books to give to kids, to read with kids. All about art and creativity, which is what, of course, Festival is all about.
There you go. ChapelHillFestival.com for more info. Again, noon to 6 this Sunday on West Franklin Street. It's going to be great. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.